Session number 17286.
Douglas Arnold, Reel 5.
And stiff a few cigarettes through the ferryman's letterbox in payment, and then go back to the Schloss. And this went on for some time until we were suddenly demobbed, sent back to Great Britain. And wasn't it nice?
What were relations like with the Germans and the occupation?
Well, it was a rural area. The Weser and Hamelin were essentially rural areas. All the people there were farmers and worked on farms. They were nice people. We got on very, very well with them. When we used to go on leave into Hanover and Hamburg, we met a different type. I didn't take to the cities, the people in the cities, but the rural population, I liked them. We played football with them. We chased the girls. It was great fun. They were nice people. I never felt any enmity to them. I never felt any enmity to them.
What was the difference with the people in the cities?
They were sharp. They were out to do you. They were the only people that we met in the cities were, of course, the people who were on the black market and wanted to buy our cigarettes and sell us their possessions. We were in Hamburg and Hanover, which had been terribly bombed. We never had the opportunity of going into a private house and meeting what, if I may term them, nice people. We didn't have that opportunity. When later on, when we were waiting to come home, we had 3 or 4 days in Cuxhaven, where we sailed from, and there we did actually get into a few people's houses and sit down at a table. We brought the food, of course, but we sat down at a table and met people and listened to their stories about the war and looked at the spaces on their walls where they'd taken pictures down to sell. Can you imagine me selling our pictures for food? Can you imagine it? Thank God my mother never had to do that. And thank God I was lucky. I saw some terrible things, Conrad, but I saw some happy things. If I may just return to Italy and going through the lines, trying to get through the German lines back to the British forces. The Germans were retreating north. And they were driving people in front of them. They were driving people out of the villages that they were going through. And the people that we met travelling north were all elderly ladies and some elderly men and some children. No young men. All the men had been conscripted or put into camps. And these women were all carrying, they were barefooted, and they were all carrying all their possessions tied up in a sheet, and this was balanced on their head. And there would be lines of these ladies marching along the road, and Gaspari and I were going in the opposite direction to them. And they were saying, no, don't go that way. Don't go that way. And they couldn't understand why we weren't carrying anything. And at the it affected me at the time, but now, when things go wrong, when we've had a power cut, or the milk hasn't been delivered, and I tend to start grumbling, I think, oh God, those women pushing prams and all their possessions wrapped up in a sheet on their head. Now, I couldn't get... what fraction of our possessions in an overcrowded house like this, what fraction of our possessions could I get in a sheet and balance it on my wife's head? It's unthinkable, isn't it?
Yes.
It's unthinkable. And here in Great Britain, I often think that we cannot conceive of these standards. Now, well, on television, we see drug addicts and the houses in which drug addicts and impoverished families are living. And you say, my God, that's pretty rough. But I've seen rougher. I've seen much worse than that. And drug addicts, it's a self-imposed, what's the word?
Deprivation.
Thank you. It's a self-imposed deprivation. But these people had had it forced upon them. There was no excuse for the treatment that these people got, whereas I tend to say now when I see people sleeping under archways with a bottle of methylated spirits, oh, that shows how old I am. They don't drink methylated spirits anymore. But when I know that this is self-imposed and that they're drug addicts, I'm sympathetic, but not to the extent of lying down alongside them and sharing my stuff with them. When I go to reunions on my bike and I sleep in bus shelters and under bridges and railway stations, I've slept in some rare places. I know what it's like to sleep out in the open. I've slept in cemeteries and under trees, graveyards, all sorts of places. But it's only for two or three nights at the most. And I know that if things got really bad, I could go to the nearest police station and say, look, I'm completely on my uppers, ring up this number and they'll tell you that they're good for a couple of quid, you know, and buy me some food. But these people who are sheltering, who are living outside now, they're only remembered at Christmas, you know. Every Christmas, the newspapers have an article about them, and there are photographs of people living in cardboard boxes outside Selfridges in London. But they're there every night of the year, not only at Christmas. And I'm terribly sorry for them.